Blog Talk Radio.
Man, you already know it's Friday, man. Happy Friday, America. Happy Friday, world. Everywhere out there in the world. I can't even just say America, man. I'm feeling some type of way. But welcome to the roundtable. You already know what happened on a Friday, man. The table's all set. A lot of interesting stuff to jump into. 60 minutes, man. 60 minutes. But I know we're going to run over, man, because we eat. I like to eat. Everybody in the kitchen like to eat. I barely get to eat. I'm the one pushing this food out. I done took off his blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside. The kitchen timeless is alive.
Feel it coming in the air.
Yeah.
Hear the screams from everywhere.
Yeah.
I'm addicted to the screen.
I'm ready.
It's a dangerous
Stop.
Love affair.
Come on.
Can't be scared when nickels down. Got a problem, tell me now. Only thing.
Allegiance, it's your season. All black, everything. Black cards, black cards, all black, everything. And I girls a black bird, riding with they diligence. I can't more in depth if you boys really real enough. This is not familiar. I'll explain later.
The calling number is 917-889-9592. Like I said, we got 60 minutes locked and loaded with Sports City. Y'all could have been anywhere else in the world, but y'all are here with the chefs. Man. Y'all know I'm a December boy, right? I'm born in December. And I love the song that they sing when December comes around. You know what I'm saying? This is the song that they sing in December, and I know when I'm home. You know what I'm saying? I know when I'm home. But I compare it to this point in time right now, Fort Worth. Y'all ready? It's the most wonderful time of the year. Yeah, that's right, that's right. You know, I'm a December boy. You know, it's my birthday time when I know that's coming around. And it's Port City birthday now, so it's all there with December come around. You know what I'm saying? And Christmas, everybody enjoys Christmas. Everybody partying with me in December because New Year's, Christmas, they getting their gifts on. They eating in two different holidays. I mean, even if you're Jewish, you do your Hanukkah, you get your eat on. You know what I'm saying? I'm hungry. You know what we do in the kitchen? We eat food for thought. All right. I'm cutting it out, Sports City. But I'm feeling some type of way, because it's NBA playoff eve. Like it feels like Christmas Eve tomorrow or something. Like, I don't know. It's just me. Well, okay. Let's get into it, Sports City. Calling in by way of the Virginia region. We got time to be in the building. Welcome to the roundtable. How are you feeling this evening?
I'm feeling good. Let's get going.
Okay. And also calling out of the same area, same region of Virginia, the DMV is in the building. I used to be big in Georgia. Now I'm big in Virginia right now. We got Aaron Simmons in the building. Welcome to the roundtable. How are you feeling this evening?
You know, man, it's a pleasure to be here in the Georgia network.
Okay. Let me find out. Okay, yes, sir.
Happy Jackie Robinson Day to you too, my brother.
Oh, I was good. I got all of this. Relax. Could you relax? I'm asking about y'all, but please. Why do y'all do that? Look. You want to know something, Tommy? This is what I'm gonna do. You are just like the person I'm about to bring in here right now, calling in by Arizona. We got Ignacio Silva in the building. Welcome to the roundtable. How are you feeling this evening?
You know, I'm feeling good, Ty. You're a big movie buff. So am I. I'm going to take you back to Too Fast, Too Furious, Tyrese Gibson's debut in the Fast and Furious. There's a catchphrase he keeps saying in that whole movie. We hungry. Takes a bite of food.
Let's get it going. I can't even ask how people do it. Because the way I was brought up and raised, like, and some people that brought me up, they like, Ty, you can't walk past people you know and can't say how you doing, right? So I'm coming here, you know, I'm trying to show my love, my ass serious, how he doing. He like, let's work, you know what I'm saying? Back to pleasure to be in the building with you all, you know what I'm saying? It's, you know, that's how serious get down, you know what I'm saying? But see, between you two, between the two of you, and it's between Tommy and Ignacio. It's like, I don't even know how to address it. I just want to say, just tell me what happened with you today. And ask me that. Like, they just started reaching their pots, being disrespectful. I feel like being like Sonny in the Bronx Tale. Now, you just can't leave. You want me to be a movie buff? I'll be a movie buff as if you've seen the Bronx Tale. But if you didn't see the Bronx Tale, Sonny was the gangster. Okay? Okay. All right. I'm happy. I'm excited. NBA playoffs kick off tomorrow, but we got a little extravagant news coming from the NFL, because they haven't been in the kitchen getting to talk openly about all of the sports. We've actually been limited to, you know, specific sports situations. And I apologize last night in Sports City about the Crossover Cafe. I was being held hostage against my will. So I think we might kick the Crossover Cafe tomorrow. I'm going to try and get the boys in here tomorrow. So I apologize on that. But back to what's happening in the NFL right now. I want to feed these guys. We have a trade already. And, of course, you know who it had to be. You know who it had to be. It had to have been the Los Angeles Rams having to get tied into this situation with the Tennessee Titans. So, you know what? I'll let you start this one up, Mr. Silver, because you hungry. I'll let you set it off. I'll go to Sirius next. Your thoughts on the moves already being generated in this upcoming NFL draft?
Okay, first and foremost, I am outside, and it is kind of windy out here, so if it gets kind of bad, just let me know. The trade itself, you know, the one thing about living out here is I'm 2 hours, and now it's daylight savings. I'm 3 hours behind the East Coast, so, you know, 8 o'clock in the morning, it's 5 o'clock here. If I'm not up bright and early, I'll miss something. That's pretty much what happened here. I wasn't up early enough to catch the swing of it or the beginning, but once it started rolling, we heard everything coming out of it. It was quite interesting, to say the least. We know Tennessee with Marcus Mariota, they weren't looking for a quarterback. And to me, like I said before, there is no one in this draft that screams must-have number one. There is no, what would it be, Mario Williams. There is no Marcel Darius. You know, there is no guy that you could say on defense, because I'm saying defense because the Tennessee Titans already have their quarterback. So they're, and of course, also when we even look on offense, Ezekiel Elliott, no way. Laquon Treadwell, no way. Even Corey Coleman, no way. There, even you go to Doxson, no way. There's just no guys on offense or defense that just scream, pick me number one, that are just must-haves. So to me, I anticipated it. Never did I anticipate them going from 1 to 15. However, and conversely, L.A. 15 to 1, that was a jump I did not see. With the Eagles making the moves they did and moving up, I thought maybe it was the Eagles trying to move up there and try and do something. So the entirety of this, I love it. Neither team I root for or I play against in a division. So to me, it's kind of out of my realm. You know, you got one AFC team and one of the lowly NFC West teams, or the lowly NFC West team, if you talk about the Niners or whatever. So to me, there's two teams out of my spectrum of thinking when it comes to playing them. But as watching them in production, we could see from this LA team, who's going to be their first year there and won't be in their new stadium for a couple years. You know, to me, I just thought it was them trying to make something happen and try and get a franchise quarterback, you know, to try and put in that new stadium once it gets built. Tennessee, I enjoy everything they did. It was very what we would like to call Patriot-like. What we see here when you deal away a high-value pick and you get a bunch of picks for it. This is pretty much what Tennessee has done. And now with, what is it? I'm sorry, I can't think of the number. Is it six? I think it's six picks in the top 87, or I can't think of the number, but it's astronomical how many picks they have in the first couple rounds, and they did that, you know, very well this year. They did that very well with the trade. So I'm impressed with Tennessee, St. Louis. I honestly think this is, you know, the reach of all reaches. I mean, these guys, whoever they pick, they better be better than Andrew Luck, Matthew Stafford. You know, all the guys picked number one over the years, they better be that good, because you pretty much did what you did to the Redskins and then some as a Los Angeles Rams team. and you gave away your entire future. Jeff Fisher, the GM, the president, everyone but the owner, their butts are on the line from here until we figure out their first round, if their first pick is a bust or not.
You know something, though, Sports City? You know something, Sports City? That boy said Ezekiel answer. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Let me stop. No, sir. He said Elliot, right? You said Ezekiel Elliott. No, sir. Okay, okay. Mr. Simmons, your thoughts on the move that went down with Tennessee and the Rams? I mean, are you puzzled about this situation as this draft approaches?
You know, man, it's kind of funny that, you know, 2 years in a row, the Tennessee Titans are faced, you know, with this type of astronomical offer. Keep in mind, Chip Kelly last year presented Tennessee Titans with this very same type of a deal to move all the way up to number two, I believe it was, and also selecting Marcus Mariota to the Philadelphia Eagles. You know, so there's a saying going on that we all kind of grew up with. You know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. The Tennessee Titans could not afford to pass this deal up twice in 2 years. So they get a mulligan, if you will, start crossing draft picks, and try to, you know, build their team from, you know, the gifts that the Rams, you know, gave them. As far as the Rams are concerned, I believe they really just, you know, for lack of a better phrase, cracked the bed. Because like my man Nacho alluded to when he was speaking, there is really not a, I must have you, you're going to turn my franchise on its ear type of a player coming up this year. There are a lot of good players coming up. Don't get it twisted. I mean, if you're able to get, you know, Bosa on your roster, if you're able to pick up, you know, a decent quarterback, you know, throw him on your roster, or, you know, if Ezekiel Elliott falls to you and you're able to pick him up and plug him in to a great downhill blocking scheme. Yeah, I mean, these are going to be, you know, great pros for your organization, but you really did just, you know, sacrifice your draft this year as well as your draft next year pretty much to come up and get, for lack of a better phrase, a project quarterback. You know, I'm not too sure what's going on there. So, you know, just trying to make out like a fat kid in this particular move, and also being as though I am tightly close to the situation, don't be surprised if the Cleveland Browns also start throwing in some significant offers to move back, acquire more picks for that number two spot as well. I mean, they did just sign RG3, and they need to surround him with significant weapons. So, I mean, let's keep it 100. The worst roster in the NFL resides in Cleveland, Ohio. They need to surround RG3 and that team with, you know, significant prospects to bolster their roster and bolster what they're able to accomplish on the football field. So, trading back and acquiring some more picks should be the way to do that. So Hugh Jackson might be looking to move there. But to answer the question at hand, the Tennessee Titans, you know, got a mulligan, and this time they made good on it.
Now, is it me, or is Ezekiel Elliott probably one of the running backs that they could try and shoot in there, or hell, could they go after a guy like Derrick Henry? Because I remember a lot of people coming to Sports City said they don't think Henry could be a first-round pick. They might be able to work with a workhorse type of back like that. Now, here's the reason why I say that. They don't have a workhorse running back in Tennessee. It's not to say like you want a running back to come in the league and show the 24 carries off, you know, a clip a game, especially him coming out of college, knowing that this guy had, you know, a couple games of 40 carries, knowing that he was built from that Nick Saban situation. But are they after a running back to help work that play action for a guy like Marcus Mariota? You know what I'm saying? Like, is this something that they're looking at to try and get this thing done? Like I don't know, because there's people hitting that them going after the running game. I think just like I was said before, that they could focus on the defensive side. This is up in the air to see how things can go down. But Tommy, your thoughts on the situation? Well, wait, before you go, Tommy, seriously, you want to say something before I throw it to Tommy though?
Well, I mean, honestly, I mean, with Ezekiel Elliott or Henry or whatever the case may be, I don't think, honestly, that either one of those two running backs would be there when the Tennessee Titans pitch. I did see reports that the Cleveland Browns, should they stay relatively high on the board, looking at possibly going running back, but I seriously doubt they're going to try, you know, to dip their toe in the Alabama water again. We all saw what Trent Richardson was able to produce for them or lack thereof when they tried that before. So no disrespect to Henry, even though that dude is huge. I don't see them trying that route. And again, Ezekiel Elliott, I mean, it will really set the town on its head because, you know, he'll be in Cleveland. He went to Ohio State, you know, so it will be nothing but a hop, skip, and a jump over for Ezekiel to play for the Cleveland Browns, but I don't see them going that direction. But, you know, I'll let Tommy Bean say what he got to say about it, but I really don't see Ezekiel Elliott going to either Tennessee or Cleveland. I see him going somewhere else.
Okay, Tommy, your thoughts on the draft moves or trade, excuse me, the trade. I won't even just say the draft, but the trade to see how the draft will end up panning out for which teammates will be better or for worse.
Probably it's a trade somewhat for both teams. Tennessee, they can build around Mariota. And if I'm correct, they have a running back. They've got Murray. They signed Murray.
They truly did. Do you believe in DeMarco, though? That is the question. Do you the season that he just left Philadelphia in, how many people have faith in that running game? Well, not just saying the running game, in him at the running back position outside of Dallas? Because he was strong in Dallas. He went to Philadelphia and had single-digit games. Like he has to prove himself in a new system. This is a new system now.
And I have caught myself. The Los Angeles Rams, they got to make a splash. They're in L.A. now. So the only thing I can think of are two things. One, they're taking the quarterback, Cal Golf, that supposedly had a really good pro day. And Jeff Fisher and they all were there before anybody. He did a special thing for them. So they're going to bring the California boy back home. Or, you got to remember, Jeff Fisher is a DB coach. He coached defensive back at USC when he was there back in the day. He could be pulling Jake Ramsey out of Florida State because he may not be down there and he may want to build around him on defense. So, yeah, I mean, we got to wait and see how they go. I think they'll go Jalen Ramsey out of Florida State, the corner, or they go Golf, the quarterback, out of Cal.
Okay. Anything else around these situations or trade or this trade that actually has come, you know, coming into fruition in a couple of weeks? Anything else?
With Tennessee and getting DeMarco Murray, I think we've all come to the overall assumption that Philadelphia, one, didn't know anything that they were doing with DeMarco Murray, and two, solely made that so they could, you know, hinder Dallas's chances at making another run. To me, I think we all could see that DeMarco Murray was not in a system that was beneficial to his skill set. I think Mike Mularkey in this offense, and let's not forget that offensive line headed by the offensive line, the coach Russ Grimm, you know, one of the hogs from Washington. So they're gonna try to run the ball, and they're gonna try to get DeMarco Murray running downhill the way he was doing in Dallas, instead of trying to do what Philly was trying to do and make him quote unquote a scat back, so to speak, bouncing around in the backfield trying to make something happen when that's not his style. So I think with Tennessee, I think they can fix that. I think that's not a problem where it's on DeMarco Murray 100% when we look at last year and the stats and things that happened to him. And of course, when we look back on those games where he had single digit carries as well. It's not like, I know not all of them, but it's not like every game he was going out 15, 20 times and getting, you know, under 50 yards every single game. But still, I credit most of that to the Philadelphia's coaching staff and the lack thereof of knowing what kind of running back they have and how to utilize him. Again, I'm with Sirius on that. I don't think they take a running back. The thing that really interests me and makes this more of an interesting trade for me is, like Tommy said, Mr. Fisher's background is defense. Is this a ploy to go up and get Ramsey? Is this something that he really thinks that defense is the key, and build the defense, you know, thinking he could make it go with a makeshift quarterback and let it fly until that new stadium is built. Who knows what the thought process is with Jeff Fisher? But what really makes this interesting, we talk about Cleveland, we talk about the Los Angeles Rams, one who has no quarterback in L.A. and one who just signed one who we all think might be that guy. The RG3 and Hugh Jackson, I hope that is the connection. I hope this isn't Cleveland trying to take a quarterback one or number two. I think what makes it real interesting is who Philly wants, who San Francisco may want, and another team that's in the top there that's not getting talked about, and is if Dallas wants a quarterback. And if that guy is still there at number two, I would expect Cleveland to be picking up the phone from either of those teams trying to move up and get that quarterback that they desired. I think that's the situation we have brewing here with L.A. Which quarterback do they take, and do they leave one on the other one on the board that multiple teams want or covet? If so, we may see a second trade there or another trade there in that top two with Cleveland moving back. Again, Cleveland, to me, needs to stay as far away from that top five, top ten as possible, and quarterbacks as possible. They haven't been able to hit on a quarterback, and we know how long. So Cleveland, Hugh Jackson, hopefully this is the right path and they start making the right decisions. Because I'll tell you right now, if Cleveland picks a quarterback number two, they're losing again, and they're probably in the top two next year.
Tennessee may not be done yet, reports are. They could move again.
And to piggyback on what Nacho said, honestly, man, unless something happens with the Cleveland Browns, nobody expects the Cleveland Browns to be significant, contributed significant players this year anyway. So you can expect them to be picking high in, you know, next year as well. I'm going to go ahead and put this whole Jeff Fisher drafting the DB first overall stuff to bed. You don't make that type of a move to go up and draft a defensive back. Tom is not in the building. You know what I'm saying? So, we all know it's a quarterback. You know, we have our ideas on which one it is, but I'm not going to allow myself to, you know, be entertained by the fact that they're going to jump up there and grab a DB. That's no way in hell that's going down. You sold the farm away. You gave the farm away to a team. You're going to go get yourself a franchise quarterback and try to put butts in seats in a couple years. You're not going to get a DB to do that.
Okay. See, Sports City, he said they hungry. Nacho said they hungry, man. I can't even get out of that first topic. I try to get in and out, and they're eating. Okay, center in the NFL. I'm stunned, people. I'm stunned with this one. And I know a lot of people aren't talking about it, but I will. I will throw this out there. Retiring from the NFL at the age of 27, Percy Harvin. Percy Harvin is done with the NFL. Okay. And I know. And I don't want to call him a cancer. I don't. But he's had issues in and out of locker room, right? But this guy has NFL whatever. I don't even know if I want to say NFL speed or it was a game tilter X factor while he won the Super Bowl with the Seattle Seahawks. I mean, he's done already. Am I the only one that's stunned about the situation? Does he have like 2 to 4 years left? I mean, he hasn't really took a critical injury. I mean, he's been out for several different times, but it wasn't concussion related. I still think that he has some gift to gab to go. I want to see how you guys feel about Percy Harvin being done at the age of 27. This is another shocker in this upcoming season. Sirius, I'll start with you first.
You know, I'm going to put it to you like this. I don't think Percy Harvin's done with the NFL. I think the NFL is done with Percy Harvin. You know, I mean, this is a guy who, like you alluded to, has been, you know, cancerous at best in locker room. This is a guy who could not stay on the field, whether it was due to injury or performance. It's unfortunate. It's really unfortunate. When this guy got drafted and came out of Florida, he had, you know, great potential. And outside of one game 2 years ago, you can't point to, you know, one Percy Harvin moment outside of what he was able to do when he got drafted by the Minnesota Vikings as a signature move. Straight round. You know, I mean, it's unfortunate that this dude couldn't stay healthy, but, you know, I'm glad he's able to walk away, you know, take his money and, you know, ride off to the sunset. It's unfortunate, but, you know, I don't think Percy Harvin gave up on the NFL. I think the NFL gave up on Percy Harvin. I don't recall him getting any type of fight or nibbles for free agency at all.
And I don't know, but I've seen a fair amount of him while he was in Minnesota. He did some things with the Vikings, too. Just to let you know, and I don't – and look, hey, he did some work in Minnesota, especially in that year when Favre and Moss came back with him. He made a name for himself right there, and then they moved him right after that and got him out there in Seattle, and everybody knows it went downhill from there. Super Bowl and him to Golden Tate, moved him to – you already know the story. But let me get this one around the kitchen. Tommy, your thoughts on Percy Harvin done at the age of 27?
All right, I'll make it quick, sweet, short. Good riddance, and he's made out of glass. Bye. Another Florida bum and hit the curb. Once again, we proved it again. Florida ain't got nothing. Bye.
Wow. Nacho, your thoughts on Percy Harvin being done so early in his career?
Geez, to me, this is, and I almost want to kind of piggyback onto what Sirius was saying. I do think kind of that the NFL quit on him as much as you know, he quit on the NFL, so to speak. The overall thing for me is he's probably had, you know, an ideal career. I mean, he's had quite possibly the perfect career you could think of outside of the, you know, the media and the bad-mouthing him because of being what you almost called him was a cancer. So, to me, this is a guy who came into the league, got a couple concussions, got a couple migraines, had some headaches for a while, wasn't able to play, and pretty much, you know, sat out an entire season, played one Super Bowl, and was tremendous. I mean, you know, if not for every single other person on that team helping score 43 points in the Super Bowl, I think you could have an argument that Percy Harvin might have been the MVP of that game. You know, if it's not 43-9 or 8, and it's, you know, 21-7 or something, and that beginning of the third quarter, you know, kick return to the house is something that sways the game, then we're looking at, you know, Percy Harvin, Super Bowl MVP, Super Bowl winner, retiring at 27. I mean, that's what his career is essential. An entire missed year because of injuries, but when he plays, he could be like an MVP on your team. So, to me, it's a guy that just to me, it's a guy that just couldn't get over the headaches. And no pun intended, but the headaches he caused in the locker room and the headaches his body caused on him. He pretty much just had what we call injury prone, you know, career or whatever. And, you know, I understand when he was with Favre and Moss, he had a couple of few good games, but those were the only games he played in. Everyone else he was injured, had a quad issue, a migraine or something else. So, to me, it was just a guy who was tremendously talented, probably could have been, you know, one of the best, you know, all-around players as it pertains to, you know, special teams and being a receiver, possibly being the number two receiver on a great team and a great return specialist. I mean, we talk about Dion and things of that nature, but, you know, Devin Hester, like, I mean, the skills that he had, the speed that he had, it was dangerous. It was very scary. So, to me, I think he could have been one of the best at it, if he would have stayed healthy for 16 games year in and year out. To me, this was more or less him realizing he accomplished everything he could and every team realizing they're never going to get 16 games out of him, so let's just not take a chance on it.
Hey, I'll take him right now. He can change the game, man. We need a return. He can be in a return game, both punt and kick, you know, special plays out of the backfield and receive, man. Like somebody need to talk him out of retirement. Somebody. But he's gotten the Super Bowl, and he's been through the ins and outs of several different teams. And to me, I mean, he hasn't slowed down, and he has, you know, how would I say it, sub 4.4 speed, you know. I mean, he's right around 4.4, 4.3 speed. It's not like he slowed down except when he's on the field. So he's a game changer while he's out there. I know Detroit could use him. I can speak on behalf of the Lions right now. We definitely could use somebody like that. But at the age of 27, it stuns me. It does stun me, especially what he has in the tank. Okay. I do have more topics. The one that I do want to get to is about the Chicago Bulls situation. There are people in the hierarchy saying that not only are they looking to blow this team up, right? Not only are they looking to blow this team up, they are looking to get rid of Jimmy Butler and Derrick Rose, both of them. Both of them. So this is beyond the blow-up. Like, this is Hiroshima. But before I get there, I want to see if the boys got something, because, I know we probably will be stuck on that one, because we've been talking about the Bulls getting blown up for at least the past 2 or 3 years here in the kitchen. The time has come, and John Paxson is the one speaking in behalf of this. So this is very interesting. I do want to talk about it. But I want to see what the boys brought with them. I'll go to you first, Tommy, out the gate. I know that there was something that happened in the DMV that you wanted to touch on, or if there's another topic, please allude to it.
Yes, I've been harping this since the NBA season began. And it actually happened. The Washington Wizards fired Randy Whitten. Good riddance, goodbye. Now, I'm going to throw three coaches out there I want to coach this team. And I know the one guy that I say is going to get under Ty's skin. I know it's Four City. One, Jeff Van Gundy. Get him away from great TV. His other co-host, Mark Jackson. The other one, Brooks, because him and KD were close in OKC, and he can recruit KD to D.C. and get him back home. Let's go. Do not screw this up, management. Please do not screw this higher up.
Oh, my goodness, man. They come in the kitchen and throw this on the table, Sports City. Okay, this is a big situation with them getting rid of Whitman and notching the thing up at 500. They went 41-41, in which, upon leaving, listen to this, Sports City. This is just, like, crazy. Upon Whitman leaving, him and John Wall get into a blazing argument on his way out of the door. Talk about, like, heated and frustrated, everything together. But how much could you put on the shoulders of Whitman while this team was battered all season long? The Wizards was hurt all season long, but I get it. They got to get to the postseason, but I get it. You got to think about it like this, people. I'm not even just talking about people here at Sports City listening or the chefs here cooking. But LeBron has been dominating the Eastern Conference. LeBron has been with the Heat for at least, what, 4 out of the last 6 seasons, and they've been winning flat out. You've been without your star shooter, Bradley Beal, every season since he's been in the league. And we're talking about Percy Harvin not giving a full season. You got the same thing happening with Bradley Beal. When does Bradley Beal come on the floor and give you a full season? John Wall has been injured.
No, that's not true. This is the first year that Beal has been hurt, that he couldn't stay healthy.
Beal wasn't hurt last year? Beal, listen, I bet you, I guarantee Beal missed games last year. Guarantee. Guarantee.
Well, he probably missed games, but not like he did this year.
What? He missed games. I said 482 games. It's not like he's missing 2 games and then he's back on the floor. Beal is injury prone. I hope you know that. That's the MO on him. Bradley Beal does not give you a full season.
And he's another Florida bum.
Listen,
hey, started with the Florida stuff, Ty.
I didn't. I'm talking about the women. I'm talking about the women. Okay. I'm moving. Ferris, you are in the DMV too. Your thoughts on the Wizards firing Randy Whitman? Did I lose him? Ferris, okay, I see what happened. Ferris, I'm trying to work with you. Ferris, are you here?
Yeah, I'm here, man. I went through a dead zone, so I lost signal. But honestly, this comes as no shock to anybody who's been following Washington Wizards basketball. You know, we knew probably about midway through the season that Randy Whitman would be gone. You know, they're throwing everybody out as far as the guest coach. You know, the three that Tommy B's alluded to were thrown out. Even I heard that, you know, Mr. Grunfeld and the powers that be are looking, you know, possibly to the college ranks to see if the next Brad Stevens can, you know, coach the Washington Wizards, you know, from a college organization. I don't know. I really don't know. I'm not going to sit here and harp on the Washington Wizards when I got, you know, a playoff team to study and worry about tomorrow. So I'm going to leave that to Tommy. What's in the task at hand, the Chicago Bulls nonsense?
And don't worry, your Houston Rockets will get swept. So that's a joke.
We ain't getting swept. We're not getting swept. I'll let you know that now. But that's another conversation from another day. You know, so you didn't hear from Facebook about that one. Having said that, the Chicago Bulls situation, I'm going to say this. Either crap or get off the pot. You know what I'm saying? Paxton and the Chicago Bulls have been leaking information and leaking stories about how, you know, Butler wants to leave and how Rose wants out and how Rose wants Butler gone. Either crack or get off the pot. I'm not going to believe nothing until it happens. Doesn't need to happen. I think we've all been sitting here talking about, yes, it does need to happen, but yet they still hang on. You know, they bring in free agents like Paul Gasol. You know, they draft a pretty decent rookie who came in and was shooting lights out. So they gave Bulls fans and fantasy owners and people that play FanDuel a glimmer of hope. And then they just, you know, wet down your leg. So it is really the Chicago Bulls. But Houston tomorrow, they shocked the world, baby.
So wait, before I throw to the nacho, right? Before I throw this to Nacho, you think the Rockets have a shot against the Warriors in a game in this series?
We're gonna get one.
Okay, so
we're gonna get one.
He says five. Look. I think I might lean with Tommy on four. I think there's too much back and forth with the Rockets right now. Too much between the Colts, Harden and Howard, role play. Look, I don't know. We're gonna save this one tomorrow. I'm gonna save that for tomorrow. Okay, Nacho, your thoughts on the situation in Washington? Them without their head coach Randy Whitman, and upon him leaving, the star and John Wall gets into it with their head coach upon him leaving DC.
I'm still in shock at what I just heard. The Randy Whitman situation, to me, it was something that we all thought that this team was obviously talented when it comes to the players. It looked like a team that on paper could go out there and challenge for the East, but the coaching staff and the head coach were just incompetent and didn't know what they were doing. This is something that I just see working out for them, see who they bring in. The only caveat that I have to this is, Tommy, your list better get really long, really quick. Three names is nowhere near enough. We're going to probably be looking at Phoenix, New York, Washington, and L.A., and that's just the ones we know about right now.
Houston.
Houston, and again, those are the ones we know about. Who knows who else, what other teams pop up here in the next few weeks, especially once playoffs get started and teams get eliminated and the offseason for the teams on the playoffs get started.
I think that's going to be more or less the issue for all these teams. There's not going to be enough big name head coaches for everyone. Are you going to take a chance on someone, you know, a la a Blatt situation, a la a Donovan situation in OKC? Are you going to take a chance on someone for the first time in the NBA? Or are you going to try your hardest to get that veteran? I just think the list needs to get longer, Tommy, because the people that the other teams, again, you're looking at two teams, possibly three, that have, you know, extremely bigger markets than Washington. And I just think that it's going to be a little bit harder for them to get everyone in the door that they want. But again, I think that's the only thing that'll hinder the you know the Wizards from here on out is picking that guy that can lead this team to where they need to go.
I'm gonna say it like this before we get moving from that topic. All three of the coaches that Tommy mentioned on that list will all be hired in this upcoming season. All three of them. If Van Gundy is still on the sidelines for ESPN or ABC, I'm tired of it. Van Gundy has a great basketball mind. You see what his brother Stan is doing in Detroit. I think, to me, the primary guy that should go down there in D.C. would be Jeff Van Gundy, because I think Van Gundy works well with all five, comparable to a Mark Jackson who features the guards, or a Scotty Brooks who has only shown that he can work with superstars only. Like, Scotty Brooks has not really shown that he could work with a full team unit. That Washington Wizards team has core players that you're going to have to work systematically to make this work. And I don't really want to call Scotty out because I love Scotty. I didn't want to see Scott go. But, management thought differently. But I think all three of them, from Mark, Scott Brooks, and Van Gundy, they're all behind. But I think in D.C. with the Wizards right now, I think Jeff Van Gundy is the guy. I mean, he has Biggs and Nene and Gortat. If these guys don't get moving, you got Beal as a shooter. Hopefully he can stay healthy and prove the comment that I said wrong. And also John Wall, the star out of the system. I mean, they still have the chip on his shoulder. But it is tough. They come out of the East where it's more or less top-heavy, or let me just say it correctly, LeBron-heavy. Okay.
Don't forget about Tom Thibodeau neither. Tom Thibodeau is going to get hired as well. I think
No. I'm not counting Thibodeau out. I'm saying out of the list that Tommy said. I'm just saying from the list that he said, the three coaches that he mentioned should all have jobs next year. There should be no excuse. I find it hard that Mark Jackson is still sitting on the sideline while you have coaches like Randy Whitman that had an opportunity to coach. I mean, Mark Jackson left, and then they won an NBA title with the same team. Nobody changed. So I think he definitely has capability to go out there and run the team and at least get into a postseason. I mean, look, you already got a situation in Sacramento where George Karl is about to get fired. They were talking about firing George Karl before that last game, but they let him coach. You know what I'm saying? In this situation right here, and I think there might be another firing out there. There's an opportunity in Phoenix. I mean, Nacho should be out here claiming for head coach, too. Hornacek is gone. And just like you said, also in Houston, I mean, if they hang on to JB, they're saying if JB is actually doing well in this series, that they may hang on to him.
Not just no, but hell no. Yeah, better not. Right. I'm going to have my series going down to Houston, killing Kelly. You better not hang on to that.
Oh, but see, real talk. They actually said that if he does well in the series, that it'll go down. So you're saying that you guys will get a game. If you guys get a game, why not two? If he gets two games against the Hornets, they'll keep him.
I know they'll get at least one. We ain't going out there and get swept. We're not going to get swept. We're at least one.
Okay. All right, I tried to sit on this as best as I could, but this Chicago Bulls situation, it actually hurts me. And I'm not a Bulls fan, people. I'm not a Bulls fan, but it hurts me. Now, me, the reason why it hurts me because, all right, I'm going to really get to the nitty-gritty. When Stephon Marbury was out here, when he was on the Nets and when he was on the Knicks, I wanted to see him ball in front of his home crowd, you know, bring it back to Brooklyn. And this was before the Nets moved to Brooklyn. They were still in New Jersey, but he was on the East Coast, and they moved him to the Knicks, so he really was home in the middle of New York City. Now you got the Chicago born and bred Derrick Rose, did all he can from tearing his knee up, leg up. I mean, he's given everything, body and soul, to the city of Chicago, and he's about to possibly be walking. I really don't even feel comfortable. I'm not trying to walk a fine line and say that he's not. I want him to stay in Chicago. I want Jimmy Butler to stay in Chicago. I don't want to see none of them move. None of them move. But if those two go, you can already picture Joakim Noah's getting out of there. Paul Gasol is getting out of there. If all four of them leave, what the hell would the Chicago Bulls look like tomorrow? If you are already ready to break this up already, if you, and I'm not even really calling out passion like this, but if you were already ready to get rid of Phil Jackson and Scottie Pippen but hang on to Michael Jordan if he wanted to play ball, you're about to let the cows go. They're really about to let the cows go in Chicago. We've been talking about this, for the past two or three seasons on blowing this up in Chicago, and I have been the only one standing on this same soapbox saying that, nah, they don't need to blow it up. Keep them right there. Didn't think that they would move Thibodeau. They moved Thibodeau, brought Fred Hoiberg in there, and Hoiberg is worse with the same unit. That was the move that you guys were to do, right, Patson? So now get rid of the players. It's not the coach, and then the coach looks bad. So if the players don't perform and the Bulls look worse, then what, you going to go through the draft and get another Derrick Rose? Come on, man. Come on. So that's how I feel about this one. I want to throw this one around the kitchen. Tommy, your thoughts on this situation that is potentially going to go down in Chicago?
I'm not shocked at all. But I don't think they're that dumb to get rid of everybody. I think it's going to be between one or two players. It's Rose or Butler. I mean, Butler already called out everybody during the season, what, a couple weeks after the season started, that Rose was this and Rose was that, and just bashing the team and everything else. So I see one or the two moves. I do not see them blowing this completely up because, like you said, if they do, what do they got? The shooter from Creighton? I mean, that's about it. I mean –
They still have the kid Portis. The kid Portis that came out of Arkansas, he's pretty good too. But the reason why I say that, Joakim Noah, I mean, he's turned into an injury-prone player. Every season you look at it, Joakim Noah is one of the strong defensive anchors, and he's hurt every season. Paul Gasol would not be around without the setup. Look at you. Look, if Paul Gasol won't stick around without both of them, I think it's going to take that backcourt alone. Jimmy Butler is not going to be able to handle that load by himself. Even though he has crazy, ridiculous talent, I do not think that he could shoulder that Chicago load by himself. I don't. But especially when they're playing the likes of Cleveland. He gets worn now trying to deal with LeBron and them. Like, you really think he could be the Cleveland team if they do stay at full strength still? Like no, you got to worry about the team that he's going to go up against in the postseason. It's not just how they look in the regular season and then that's that and give them their parting gifts like this is the Price is Right. You're looking to contend for a title. I don't think Paul sticks around if either one of them leaves. If Derrick Rose leaves or if Butler leaves, I think he's gone too. I think at least four of the notable names on that roster will be gone, especially with this new system of Fred Hoiberg, where they went from defense, locking people up, now they're giving up 100-plus points a game. I think they're gone. Now, to your thoughts on the situation with the Bulls in jeopardy right now.
To me, it's just, we all were just a year early on calling this, the ones of us that were anticipating this to happen. Although, to me, I never really anticipated Derrick Rose being in the names. I figured it would be a blow-up and keep him and no one else type of situation. But the writing was on the wall once he got rid of Tom Thibodeau and the amazing things, and I'm going to say amazing, the amazing things he was able to do with a very offensively inefficient team and to make the playoffs year in and year out and even, you know, get out of the first round without Derrick Rose. A couple of times it was amazing, you know, being without your star player, without who some would consider the, you know, one of the best players in the league when he was 100% healthy. It was the writing on the wall that was evident that this team was getting, you know, the Hiroshima treatment. The problem with it is I never understood getting rid of a Jimmy Butler or Derrick Rose you know, or a guy who's been the heart and soul of your team with Joakim Noah, who, like what we all know, would walk in that situation without having those other two guys there. To me, I'm just really, like you said, in shock that Derrick Rose and Jimmy Butler would both be in the names of possibly getting shipped off, and that's who do you have, like you said, who do you have after that? What do you anticipate doing, grabbing, you know, another, you know, Derrick Rose in the draft, getting Jimmy Butler again? It just, you're not going to be able to do that and have a team that can be ready for you. So I'm really, I don't know. I'm at a loss right now. This is a team that, with the right coaching, with the right, you know, mind frame, they could have made some noise, but they never could. They never could stay healthy. And this year, who knows what Tom Thibodeau could have done. I would have been the healthiest he'd have. He would have had Derrick Rose and that team, since that MVP year. Who knows the kind of noise they could have made, especially in the East. That really wasn't all that great this year.
Okay, we got Sirius back. Sirius, your thoughts on the situation of what's going on in Chicago and this team getting blown up? Your thoughts?
Yeah, I already scored it before I lost signal. I just needed to crack the pot. You know, we've been talking about this a couple years now. So I think
we losing you, Sirius, real bad, man. I need you to get out of those mountains, man, wherever you are, man. Tommy, go save them. Tommy, you got to go save them out there, man. All right. I know we totally lost them. Okay, Nacho, your topic that you brought to the table today, I want to throw this one out there.
Yeah, and I know you had the crossover coming up tomorrow and that, but I did want to know, out of the top four seeds, and we're talking Toronto, Cleveland, Golden State, and San Antonio, the likelihood, the realistic likelihood, not some fantastic dreams that you had after you smoked probably the best stuff in your life, but who has the most realistic chance to get upset in the first round? Would it be Cleveland? Would it be Toronto? Would it be a Golden State team or a San Antonio Spurs team? Now, this comes because of some of the dominance that has been displayed in the Western Conference as it pertains to those top two seeds, and some of what could be considered very mediocre play out of the top two seeds in the East. Is this something where it may be either the Western Conference, you know, 1 and 2 believe they're invincible and get caught slipping, or a mediocre Cleveland or Toronto team steps into a series where they get caught, you know, they get caught not playing their best for a couple games, and they end up taking one and losing the first round. Is there a realistic possibility that any one of these four teams take a loss in that first round?
Tommy, your thoughts on at least the top two teams in each conference? Do you think one of them could go down, either the Cavaliers and the Raptors? The Raptors sit at number two in the East, and of course Golden State, the top record in the league, or the San Antonio Spurs sitting at second place in the Western Conference?
I really think Toronto gets beat. I think Indy beats them in six.
Whoa.
Cleveland, we said it. Me and Chandler have said it. Nobody's going to want to play Detroit. Well, guess what, Cleveland? You got Detroit. I think Cleveland will win, but I think they'll be in a dogfight. The other two in the West, Golden State's going to sweep Houston. Let's not even play that. That's a sweep. If they lose a one game, James Harden must fall out of his mind.
All right.
San Antonio. I can't remember who they got.
They got Griffith. They got the Grizzlies.
That could be a series. That might end up being a series. That may go four. No. That might go six. maybe five. But I see St. Tony. The two that have a chance is in the East. But I really, really, like I said, I really think Toronto may lose.
And here goes the interesting thing about that Cleveland situation. They played Detroit. And all throughout the playoff run that the Cleveland Cavaliers had, that they were doing better than any team in the Eastern Conference in that playoff run, they rebounded better than everybody that they played against. They're going up against Andre Drummond, the cat from Connecticut. And boy, does he battle and bang on those boards. If he can get rebounds, that can make this very interesting for guys like Tristan Thompson, or also guys like Kevin Love. Also, guys like Timothy Mozgov, they got to go bang with this dude, and he could jump. So they got to bring their A game to mess with this guy. So that is an interesting series, especially a 1-8 where everybody's expecting at least the one seed to walk over, guys. I don't want to get too much involved in that Golden State-Houston thing because I know Sirius get mad at me by talking about it, but if Houston can steal a series, steal a game, they have to be in Texas. I don't think they'll be in California getting one in the Oracle. It's just too much going on right now. They're paying $500 just to see a record get broke in the regular season. Too much going on out there. I think they're going to have to go back to Houston for game three or four to try and get a win. And I think if they lose game three, they're going to get swept. The Spurs against the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies have beaten the Spurs before in the postseason, even when they were an even lower seed at the eighth seed. But without Marc Gasol, I don't think they can get it done. I think the Spurs have too much firepower for the Grizzlies at this point in time. I don't know if this is a sweep situation, but I definitely don't think that series will go seven. I know that. It won't go seven. Okay. We did get series back. Series, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm here, man. Again, I apologize for the technical difficulty. That's the thing about driving around Winchester, man. You hit these dead spots at these mountains, man, and your service drops. Rack sports all hit up.
I mean, Tommy does all right. You know what I'm saying? Tommy does all right. Okay.
See, Tommy is stationary. Like, I'm driving. Like, every time I'm on the show, I'm on the move.
Tommy's also smack down in the middle of the city, too.
See what I'm saying?
Right.
See, I'm on the outskirts. Like, I'm up here by Greenwood Drive, you know what I'm saying, back in the cut where my next-door neighbor is 2 miles east to west.
Look, don't give them the location. See, that's the problem. Stop, man. See, this is what I'm doing, Sports City, man. I'm trying,
come
man.
Come see me.
I know. Tommy invited me next weekend, man. I might have to take the trip, man. Y'all both in the same city, so I can knock out two birds with one stone, man. Two birds with one stone. Okay. Anything left in the round table before we all start to disperse? I need something. Seriously, if there's anything that you'd like to throw out there before we get away from here also.
You know, honestly, man, I popped in. You were talking about, you know, 1-8 matchups and the playoff stuff. You know, I'm going to save a lot of that, you know, for if I'm able to pop on tomorrow, for the Crossover Cafe. But, man, you know, the schedule came out yesterday, man. I'm not too sure we hit on that. There's some very, really notable games for my squad as well as, you know, the Skins, you know, and, you know, some other teams that I kind of keep an eye on. It's going to be a crazy season. I will say this. I do love the fact that we open up on Monday night. I do love the fact that we're playing on Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's Day. I kind of love how this whole situation is panning out for your boys repping that black and yellow.
Yeah, and NFL threw me for a loop. I'm going to do this quickly and talk about the schedule. They threw me for a loop. Now, I was told that Detroit was playing the Cowboys at home in the D at Ford Field. So I was already making plans. I was setting aside money to, you know, have trip money, you know, hotel next to, you know, they're like, Pat Dallas. I'm like, well, I'm not going to that game. So I'm not going to Texas. As much as I want to see that TV, I'm not going down there. No, I won't. But I am happy with how the schedule did go down. But interesting enough, the game that I was invited to up against the Giants is on December 18th. And people already know I'm on the West Coast in the 18th, so I'm mad about that. So it's like, do I work my way back across the East Coast to go watch a game, go back and start vacating again? So I don't know, Sports City. I'm a little frustrated on how the schedule went down. I'm going to save a lot of the schedule stuff for the brothers throughout the week because I want everybody to talk about the schedule feeling. You know, see how the Ravens look. See how the Packers look. I mean, I just gave you two games out of Detroit. I'm actually scary about what we got going on, man, because Calvin gone, man. I don't like it. Barry,
Barry,
you
see what it is, man. It's something.
Yeah, what did you say?
What about RG3 going back to D.C. week 4?
That is a big
game. That is
a big game. That is a big
game. By the NFL. That has got to be the, like, I don't mind opening up on the road, you know, up here in D.C., but, yo, could you imagine the media frenzy that would ensue with week one, game one, prime time, Monday night, Cleveland, Washington, in FedEx? Holy crap, that would have been bananas.
This is the crazy part. If Cleveland wins, now what if Cleveland? If RG3 gets a win, oh my goodness! I want to see the handshake with him and Gruden. I want to see Snyder's face up in the box. I want to see it all, man. Deshaun shake his hand. Man, listen.
Right.
My Ravens play Oakland
that day.
Yeah, and I want to talk about what's going on with Oakland, too, but I'm going to save it. I'm going to just tell you this. They have four games, or let me say it, four home games for Oakland in the beginning of the season. They are playing those games at 1 o'clock, which is a 10 o'clock start in the morning for them on the West Coast. You feel me? But they're playing 10 o'clock in the morning for the Raiders only. Interesting stuff. There's a lot of stuff going on, people. But we are going to close down the round table. Like I said, I've got to take some of these visits throughout the week. And I do got to take off because Uncle Sam is after me, so I do got to get going. So I got to take care of that. I got to get close out for each of you one by one. I'll start with you first, Mr. Simmons. Plug, close out, shout out as we shut it down here at the round table.
Yo, man, it's a pleasure to be here with you all on another edition of the Roundtable. Again, my deepest apologies for the technical difficulties popping in and out like a jack in the box. But, you know, this is what your boy do here on the move, man. Definitely check us out, man, tomorrow. Hopefully, TP and the powers that be, like that crossover track there to jump up and go. You know, we are on Christmas Eve as basketball aficionados, man. We got wall-to-wall action on nothing but games, because it's going to be fun to, you know, plop down in front of your TV with a cold one with your friends and families and, you know, watch some basketball playoffs. So definitely check that out. And Sunday, you know what we do, man. It's, you know, it's the brunch, man, doing what we do, man. Definitely check us out at www.facebook.com/SportsCityChefs. You know, got any questions up at the line. You know what I'm saying? Shoot us the pitching, you know what I'm saying? Rip your squad proud, man. Don't be ashamed. Rip your squad. Let's shoot rough them purple people, you know, from Baltimore. But we'll get to that another later. The boy says, out this jury. Forget the K's. Let's go to Houston. Shock the world. Shoot the world. And then peace.
Whoa. Look how he tried to slide. And this is the crazy part. One, he said pop in and out like a jack in the box on the phone. Well, that's what the Rockets might do. Up against the Warriors, just pop in and look like a jack in the box. You know, I don't think it's going to last too long. You know what I'm saying? And why do you guys have a phone, man?
We about to shine tomorrow.
Listen, put it this way. If y'all win, listen, it's Sports City, I'm going to give y'all a guarantee, right? I'm going to put this on the line. If the Rockets win three games in a series against the Warriors, Sirius hosts for a whole show, an entire show. If they could go to game seven or win the series, I'd give Sirius a whole show. Like him, he can host. I'll do whatever he say. If Harden, Howard, and Bickerstaff can get three games or better, he got a full menu here at the kitchen. Now, how about that? I'll be fair. I won't even say win the series. If they win the series, I'll let series host for a week. Talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, we ain't
got
to worry about that.
Listen, Tommy said, we ain't got to worry about that.
You know what I'm saying? We're talking about the ACL he knocked off for one and won our second championship. Just ask Orlando Magic how that feel. We already win here. Let's go. Walking for the trip to
Okay, I don't know how many people believe in him, but R. Kelly believes he could fly. I still think he walks and runs. You feel me?
I'm trying to be peeing on people. You can't have, I'm trying to be peeing on people. We ain't about that life.
Why do you have to go there? Like, you just have to go X-rated? Like, you have to? Like I said, he believes he can fly. Wait. Okay, here we go. So now Sarah just added himself to the list. You know, I can ask Nacho how he's doing. Nacho will tell me, like, two things that's going on in Arizona and then just start reaching the dishes. Then you get Tommy. He told me how he was doing. He said, I'm good. Stop me from talking. Said, Ty, I want to tell you about the great number 40. So I'm like, well, Lance, I got it, but you already put it out there, so you good. Now you got serious, right? I'm going to quit talking about the Rockets doing this, that, and the third set. R. Kelly believe he can fly, and this dude talking about urination. Wow.
You can't bring your child and not mention that joint. Let's keep it 100 on the. We all grown up in this. We know what R. Kelly be about.
Pineapples. I can't. No, pineapple. I can't. Oh my goodness! I got a song for you when I close up this show. That's for sure. This song is for him when I close up. Not trying to get a plug, close out, shout out, and we shut it down here at the round table.
At Nacho in the Box, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Excited for the schedule release. I'm sure we'll get into that at the brunch. I'm sure we'll talk about the playoffs kicking off. Great show. I'm just really, really excited. You know, I think the NBA will have to implement new rules probably for this playoffs. You know, if you get beat by 40, 50, 60 plus, that should be worth two playoff victories. So Houston might go out in three. So, boom. Other than that, man, I'm really, really
disrespecting my boys like that.
Other than that, man, Jerry, thanks for coming in. Tommy, thanks. I love it. And, you know, streaks were made to be broken. Now it's time to start another streak. Let's start a streak again. You know what I'm talking about, Ty. But let's start another 22-year streak. Let's get it going next year. We have to wait till the end of the year, but we'll get another one cracked. After that, man, I'm just excited. Is it January yet? These playoffs need to start.
Look, he's begging for Jay. Look at him. See, this one, hey, tell him to get out them pots, man. I ain't going to put that pot. That's in the cupboard, man. Like, we didn't even cook it football like that. I mean, well, we cook football a little bit. This is a change. This is a little bit. Hey, tell me. I need a plug close off of you because you are Nacho twins, and Sirius was right after y'all. And I don't even know how that works because Sirius older than Nacho, but he's younger than you. Like, I don't know. But tell me, give me a plug close off, shout out, that we shut it down here at the round table.
Yeah, good show, everybody. I got something that I've been saying and I'm harping on for the past week. Poirier. Yeah, I'm calling you out again in your whole camp. You cannot hide. He turns around, says he's got a leg injury. Oh, I can't fight. But your fat, lazy ass is on Fox Sports 1 hosting a show and hopping around and everything else. You really scared of John Jones that bad? You scared. And where I'm from, they consider that a bitch boy. Stop being a bitch, pull your panties off, and put some big boys on and get in the octagon with the champ. Two. Congratulations, Kobe Bryant, going out like the great one, putting up 60. Man, just thank you for showing how good you really could be.
50 shots. That's all I'm going to say. Look, Kirby, I ain't even going to talk about it. I put you in the description, so hopefully the boys out there share and tweet and do what they need to do so just so they can see it. But they'll see more of this when the cafe get kicking tomorrow. But 50 shots against the Jazz, woo, woo, woo. But I respect you. But well, I'll get it. So Kobe, I ain't going to talk too much about it because I'm doing you a disservice by giving you this short of a run. I got to give you some of the show. I got to. Excellent stuff. I'm pumped about everything that went down. Like I said, it's the most wonderful time of the year. It's Christmas Eve for me. It's Christmas Eve for me. I have not seen Kevin Durant in the postseason in 2 years. I have not seen Russell Westbrook in the postseason for 2 years because my boy's been hurt to kick Russ in the face. KD broke a foot. No, I'm happy, man. I'm happy. I want to see my boy go out there and do it. Thunder up, man. SportsCityChef.com. Check out the website, the interviews, the blog, the chef, the crossover cafe. We'll be on tomorrow morning, 11 a.m. Y'all stay tuned to all the pages that we got flowing around the building and social media and things of that nature. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chef again. And if they don't know, now they know.
Somebody got a problem with hoes. What's up, y'all niggas all fed up? Cause I got a little cheddar and my record's moving out the store. Young fuckers picking at me, young rappers getting at me. My nigga Big.